This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Two strikes on Brian De La Cruz. Hernandez ready to go. And the pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Right field. Deep. To the wall. Caught. Reynolds brings it in at the warning track. And the Pirates persevere. They are winners on opening day. Their one and only lead of the night holds up. Jose Hernandez with his first big league save. And in 12 innings, the Pirates reel in the fish 6-5.
Whoo! I tell you what, if yesterday proved anything, by a 12-inning thriller, come-from-behind game, where the Pirates were down by as much as three runs, we're in for an entertaining season. Buckle up. Austin Bechtel with you. It's the Fan Early Morning Show. The day after opening day, and 1 week from today is opening day, the home opener at PNC Park. Potentially Jared Jones, the rookie, in line to start what would be his second career major league game against the Baltimore Orioles at 4-1-2, 4:12 p.m. But yesterday it was Mitch Keller who went to the mound. Didn't perform necessarily well. The story of the day, the battle in Bucks. It didn't look great for Mitch Keller in his start. And you could tell the frustration that he had as he went back to the dugout. There was a shot of him during the game of throwing his glove, not happy, slamming it against the end of the dugout. Keller went 5 2/3, 7 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them were earned, 2 walks and 3 strikeouts. His defense did kind of let him down. Jared Triolo with a transfer on what potentially could have been a double play. Run ends up coming around the score. That was in what could have been a 4-run inning for Miami early on in the game, because in the bottom of the second, the Marlins were starting to hit around on Mitch Keller. Ended up scoring 2 runs. They got out of it. And then later on again, Miami ended up scoring another run in the fifth, but 2 more runs in the third as Keller had a chance for a double play ball. Threw it a little bit wide of Jared Triolo. Triolo didn't know if he had his foot on the bag. And couldn't get the out. He got 1 out, couldn't get 2 outs. But the story here is this. With the Pirates trailing by 3, going into the 7th inning, they just continued to fight. And the type of at-bats that the team was putting together, it was pretty impressive to watch. And Derek Shelton going to Edward Olivares, who did not start, a guy who did not perform necessarily well in spring training after being acquired from the Royals in the offseason, comes up, pinch hit, home run, crushed to center field, and it put the Pirates down by 2. With an exit velocity of 102, it went 413 feet. Brian Reynolds hit a ground rule double, book rule double, however you'd like to describe it, to help set up Andrew McCutchen with a ground ball to bring in another run. As McCutchen and Henry Davis were a part of it. So, with Brian Reynolds doubling, Michael A. Taylor went to third. Michael A. Taylor scored on the McCutchen ground out. And then you go to the top of the 8th inning. And it just, there's no way to truly describe this guy unless you just hear it.
1-0 to O'Neill Cruz. Swing, fly ball, left field. Gordon back, and there it goes, home run, he tied the game. He mishit the ball and sent it over the wall in left field for a game-tying home run in the eighth.
Yeah, he did mishit the ball. O'Neill Cruz, in the eighth inning, nobody out, just launched one to left field, opposite field power, completely insane, the type of power that he has. That is a fly ball, not even to the warning track for most major league hitters, most right-handed major league hitters, the way he hit it, let alone lefties. And three of my questions that I had, I put this in SB Nation's piece that came out yesterday. This season will come down to three things for the Pirates. Is O'Neill Cruz the star we believe that he will become and that he can become? His defense is a little bit spotty, but the bat has a chance for a 30-30 season. His ability to run the bases is there. Speed galore. Power that is just uncanny. We saw that he had the ability to put the team back into a driver's seat position being tied. And the way that he is just able to command a lineup. Cruz was batting leadoff for the majority of spring training. Ended up going to the sixth spot in yesterday's game. And partially because Miami is deploying four left-handed starting pitchers in the series. And Cruz ended up delivering. Second, when is Paul Skene's debut and how impactful will he be? It's a question that'll have to be answered for later. But also, something that could be figured out later in the series when Bailey Falter goes to the mound on Sunday. How does he perform? Martin Perez goes today. Finally, and this is something that proved evident yesterday, does Derek Shelton push the right buttons for this team to deliver a winning record for the first time in six seasons since 2018? Tip of the cap to Derek Shelton, because he pushed the right buttons down the stretch. So after Keller kind of flamed out a little bit in the sixth, really in the fifth, you could tell that when another run came across the plate, he just did not have his stuff yesterday. He didn't. Threw 85 pitches, could have went six innings if his stuff was playing up. Fleming, Stratton, Baraki, Chapman, Ortiz, Hernandez. Over six innings of work, none of them allowed a run. Luis Ortiz went two innings, walked two, no strikeouts, no hits, no runs. Velocity was back up to 98 he was topping out at. That is something that was few and far between for Luis Ortiz last season when he was dropping down 94, maybe even some 93s, 95. Not the velocity that we saw from Ortiz when he debuted a couple of seasons ago, came up in September, and looked like he could be pairing him and Rowanzi Contreras as a 2-3, maybe a 3-4 in the rotation, as a couple of guys who could really spin it for the Pirates. And Ortiz came in extras, 10th and the 11th, with a guy on second base, already a runner in scoring position. And Luis Ortiz is a guy who's been wild with walks. There's no questioning that. The proof is in the pudding. And he did walk two guys. But he was able to get a double play ball that was so critical, even though Miami was able to move the runner on him both times. Move the runner over to third base. They intentionally walk a couple of guys, put someone on first, set up a double play. It worked to perfection. And Jose Hernandez, because David Bednar was not available, still dealing with the injury that potentially could have landed him on the injured list, but look, your seventh inning guy and Colin Holderman is already on the IL. He's probably going to come back. It seems he's already thrown a bullpen in 15 days. Could be the same case with Carmen Majinski as he was dealing with an arm injury. Both those guys are throwing bullpens, but you can't have David Bednar begin on the shelf as well. And maybe it's just a couple of days for Bednar. Maybe he's pitching in the Washington series. Maybe he's going by Sunday. But for Jose Hernandez to step in, with Rolandy Contreras placed on the paternity list, to step in, not even knowing or thinking that he was going to be on this team, it proves the depth that this bullpen needed to have and needed to show. We know Brian Baraki's pretty good. An ERA of, what, 2.20 last year? a 175 opponent average, ending in a 30 pitch, two strikeouts. And again, the key, no runs, but how about no hits? Hunter Stratton, two-thirds of an inning, one hit, one strikeout, clean. Stuff was playing really well. Slider was moving. The sinker that he's able to deploy as well. This was just a battle-tested team. And I always, my dad and I were watching the game, and I kind of said to him, when it was the top of the 10th, bottom of the 12th, and the bottom of the 11th inning, they came back, they fought their way into this. Now, how are they going to find a way to lose? Because they're on the road in Miami, a team who played very, very well in the first six innings. Jesus Luzardo was very good for the Marlins, other than the Brian Reynolds home run. Luzardo ended up going five innings, two hits, two runs, two walks, eight strikeouts. He was commanding the zone, pitched very well against the Bucks, being able to get a couple chases from Andrew McCutchen. Michael A. Taylor wasn't very good at the plate, but did have a single late in the game that ended up helping out the Buccos offense. Sixto Sanchez gave up a hit to O'Neill Cruz. He hadn't pitched since 2020. Ended up with a blown save. I just like how battle-tested this team was yesterday. And yes, Austin, it's game one. I get it. But first impressions are pretty good, and they can be lasting impressions for a couple days or maybe a week, maybe two. I was impressed by, you got to be impressed by when Edward Oliveira is a guy who struggled in spring training. They brought in Michael A. Taylor because they must not have been impressed enough with Oliveira, who hit, 12 home runs with the Royals last year. He's got pretty good power, did not play 100 games, played fewer than 80 games with the Royals, might have been fewer than that. And to be able to step up and hit a pitch hit home run as far as he did, as loud as he did, now tip your cap to that. Same thing with O'Neill Cruz. Henry Davis came up in a key spot a couple of different times, only went 1-for-6. McCutchen struck out four times in the cleanup spot. That's not going to happen every game. Both of those guys batting back-to-back didn't look good. And Cruz is probably bound to go back to leadoff at some point. It was funny how the Pirates did a video, who will hit the first home run of the season for the Buccos? And everybody kept saying O'Neill Cruz, which is obviously an easy answer, but a lot of them kept saying he's our leadoff man, he's going to start it off with a home run. And then to see Cruz bat six was a little bit surprising, probably because of the factors of Miami deploying four lefties in the series. Connor Joe put together some competitive at-bats. Connor Joe had a great defensive play when O'Neill Cruz wildly threw on a double play to first. Connor Joe outstretched to first base, made a great play, or else the ball's probably in the dugout, and Miami scores a run. Who knows if the Pirates end up winning? 412-928-9370. What's your thoughts on the Buccos from yesterday's performance? It seems like the Bucs always put together a show, a performance, on opening day, right? The Reds game last year, they came back. Cruz had a home run in that game as well, in front of a jam-packed Citizens Bank Park. Citizens Bank Park. That's in Philadelphia. Great American ballpark. Great American small park, as I like to call it. Home runs fly out of that place like it's nobody else's business. Remember that game? Neil Walker, walk-off home run, PNC Park, back during the 13, 14, 15 winning days. I think it was 2012 when the Pirates crushed, it was like by 10 runs, the Chicago Cubs. So I want your thoughts on the Pirates. What are your expectations for this season? Well, let's start it off. Good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. We must have watched two completely different games yesterday, because yesterday was an absolute clown show from these guys. I'm glad that they won and then the bullpen did well. They struck out 17 times.
Yeah, it was bad.
17 times. I mean, three home runs bailed them out, which is great. I'm glad that they had the ability to hit the long ball, but 17 times. And what in the world are they doing when they're waving Henry Davis home from a ball that's hit to the first baseman that they throw wide? The ball is laying in the infield, and they're sending Henry Davis around third base.
Well, I'm glad you brought
close.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Thrown out three times at home plate,
right,
in three innings.
I'm glad you brought that up. because, I mean, that was something that I was just about to get to. I don't understand the overall aggression of sending the runners there, especially Michael A. Taylor's running home with the infield in on a ground ball. You should not be running on contact there. Wait to see. There's fewer than two outs. Wait to see what ends up happening with the baseball. It just seemed like there was a conceited effort on the Pirates' part where there was a base running instruction. If the ball is hit to Josh Bell, we know how poor he was defensively with the Pirates at first base. If it's hit to him, run. And we're going to hope that he makes an error, throws it away from the catcher 10 feet over his head or into the dugout, and basically just take a break.
Which I understand, but I mean, you know, these guys are professional players. I mean, from a standpoint of, we're not just, you know, this isn't the Ingemar Little League where all of a sudden we're just going to hit it to first base. Oh, well, he can't throw, let's run. I mean, the guy's going to, yeah, he may make the occasional error. But he's still going to throw a guy out from 90 feet nine times out of 10. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of mental blunders over the years that this team has made, and they made three of them in the first game of the season.
What's your record prediction?
I'm going to be I'd say 77 wins.
Appreciate that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say I think 77 wins, but you know, I think you're going to find out here in the next week or so that the starting pitching is, and if Keller is anything like he was yesterday, they're in big trouble from a starting pitching rotation. I know it's game one, and he was an all-star last year, and we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But if for any reason he can't pitch better than that, they're going to be in big trouble from a starting pitching standpoint.
Well, I appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, they left 13 guys on base.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And at one point, MLB.com adds it up a little bit differently in terms of the total left on base was 13. With runners in scoring position, the Pirates were 2 for 17. Despite all that, they won. Which is why it was kind of surprising that they were able to pull it out the way that they did. Battle-tested, come from behind against a Miami team who, yes, is banged up starting pitching-wise, and it's kind of taken an effect on their bullpen as well. They need to shore some things up. And yes, it's the first game of the year. You're going to have blunders. You should not have the Henry Davis blunder, where he was sent. It seemed like a decision that Davis made on his own, but no, he was sent. I just don't understand the reasoning there. Why the hell are you sending Henry Davis from second base on an error at first by Josh Bell, where he just leisurely corrals the baseball? This is not Billy Hamilton rounding the bases. Starling Marte isn't there. And even those guys would have got gunned out at the plate. I mean, I don't understand it. That could have been a key reason why they lost the game. 2 for 17 with runners in scoring position could have been a key reason why they lost the game. 13 guys left on base. I mean, in terms of Andrew McCutchen and Henry Davis, the number of guys that they left on base, it was staggering. But they're 1-0. And they found a way to win it. And it's not perfect. You're going to have games like this. It's part of baseball, where it's not easy. The game is never simplified. Left on base totals from just overall, when players came up to the plate and there was a runner on base, did they drive him in? Just in general. From MLB.com, the total was 29. McCutchen and Davis, 7 apiece. Now, that's a different number from the total team left on base, which is how many guys were actually on base when, let's say, McCutchen strikes out and is the third out of the inning. Let's say somebody's on first and second. Then you add those up. But let's say there's one out, McCutchen and Davis both bat. They both leave them. Counts as more than that. 412-928-9370. Weigh in on the Pirates, your win projections, your thoughts on yesterday's game, taking them all. Also want your thoughts on the Penguins. Seems like it's just continue to tread some water. Keep on rolling. 32-30-10 overall for the Penguins. 10 games left in the season. They got another game with Columbus. They're not making the playoffs. It seems like a team that, I mean, they figured something out on the power play yesterday. 2 goals for Evgeny Malkin. Always like those Penguins-Pirates back-to-backs. Fun just to be able to watch both, especially when the times don't conflict. Penguins have 74 points. Philadelphia is at 82. So there's eight points back there. Philadelphia does have 2 more games they've played than the Penguins. And overall in the conference, it just does not line up well for the Penguins. They're 7 back of Washington in the wild card. They're still 5 back of Detroit. They still could get in. It's very unlikely because Tampa Bay right now is positioned in a wild card spot. They could flop spots potentially with Toronto. Boston and the Rangers at the top of the East with Carolina and Florida as well. All those teams will have over 100 points. It's a fight for the last wild card spot with Washington, Detroit, the Islanders, the Devils, and the Penguins all fighting for it. 412-928-9370. Want your thoughts? More on the Pirates, NCAA tournament talk potentially as well. Here on The Fan, Austin Bechtel with you for The Fan Early Morning Show, which was presented by CGR Wholesale. It's The Fan Early Morning Show for the average Joe. Presented by CGR Wholesale, where the average Joe buys like a pro. Also, Fan Weather, it's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. Currently 38 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies throughout the day. It's going to be clear for a good portion of the day, actually, with a high of 54 and a low of 35. Pirates won. Penguins won. Austin Bechtel with you here on the Fan Early Morning Show. It was a 12-inning victory for the Buccos, 6-5 against Miami. Pens won at home against Columbus. Does it really matter too much in terms of the overall standings? Probably not. 3-2, Pens won. 2 goals on the power play from Evgeny Malkin. Let's go out to the phone lines. Jeremy is in the car. What's going on, Jeremy?
Hey, what's up, my man?
I'm good.
So my thing is, you started off great with your enthusiasm about the Pirates, and then the one guy calls in with his negativity, talking about, you know, how bad the starting pitching is going to be, and, you know, it just gets old with those fans. But my thought on the starting pitching is, I do believe they're going to bring Skeens up within a month, maybe month and a half, which will definitely fix that problem. And the Bucks struggled a little bit throughout the beginning of the game, but they came through when it mattered at the end.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they had a lot of flaws in that game. I mean, it just kept thinking over and over again, when are they going to get the big hit? When are they going to get the big hit? And there's going to be games that's the case, and they don't get the big hit. But, I mean, they did on a couple of different occasions, and I think I was more so impressed with the pitching and the way that Luis Ortiz and Jose Hernandez, two guys that you would not expect and really not want to be in that high leverage of a role, to be able to close the door.
Yeah. I mean, Henry Davis in, what, the bottom of the ninth, he hit the line drive. You know, the guy grabbed it, but, you know, tough luck there. And then his next at bat, what was at the bottom of the 12th, he hit the other line drive. And if he wouldn't have slowed up, he probably would have got on first. But, I mean, you know, that got the other guys pumped up, I think, and got them going. And then we got, you know, the one run, got the lead at the end of the game when it counted, and we won the game. I mean, it is the Buccos. You know, they're never going to look pretty, but you got to take that win.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Thanks, Jeremy. And here's the other thing. Henry Davis defensively yesterday looked pretty good to me. He looked pretty good to me. Texter was talking about impressed with all of Shelton's decisions, except batting McCutchen in DH and cleanup. Well, he's going to DH this year. Yeah, he ended up coming to the plate. Every time that he did, he either struck out. He did walk once. 0 for 5 officially for McCutchen. Henry Davis was 1 for 6. 4 strikeouts. Also said Happy Easter. Happy Easter to you too. And everyone out there. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Easter weekend. Left in the season. They got another game with Columbus. They're not making the playoffs. It seems like a team that, I mean, they figured something out on the power play yesterday. 2 goals for Evgeny Malkin. Always like those Penguins Pirates back-to-backs. Fun just to be able to watch both, especially when the times don't conflict. Penguins have 74 points. Philadelphia is at 82. So there's eight points back there. Philadelphia does have 2 more games they've played than the Penguins. And overall in the conference, it just does not line up well for the Penguins. They're 7 back of Washington in the wild card. They're still 5 back of Detroit. They still could get in. It's very unlikely because Tampa Bay right now is positioned in a wild card spot. They could flop spots potentially with Toronto, Boston, and the Rangers at the top of the East with Carolina and Florida as well. All those teams will have over 100 points. It's a fight for the last wild card spot with Washington, Detroit, the Islanders, the Devils, and the Penguins all fighting for it. 412-928-9370. Want your thoughts? More on the Pirates, NCAA tournament talk potentially as well. Here on The Fan, Austin Bechtel with you for The Fan Early Morning Show, which was presented by CGR Wholesale. It's The Fan Early Morning Show for the Average Joe. Presented by CGR Wholesale, where the average Joe buys like a pro. Also, Fan Weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet in McMurray. Save some green in March at Sun Chevy or sunchevy.com. Currently 38 degrees. Mostly cloudy skies throughout the day. It's going to be clear for a good portion of the day, actually, with a high of 54 and a low of 35. Pirates won. Penguins won. Austin Bechtel with you here on the Fan Early Morning Show. It was a 12-inning victory for the Buccos, 6-5 against Miami. Pens won at home against Columbus. Does it really matter too much in terms of the overall standings? Probably not. 3-2, Pens won. 2 goals on the power play from Evgeny Malkin. Let's go out to the phone lines. Jeremy is in the car. What's going on, Jeremy?
Hey, what's up, my man?
I'm good.
So my thing is, you started off great with your enthusiasm about the Pirates, and then the one guy calls in with his negativity, talking about, you know, how bad the starting pitching is going to be, and, you know, it just gets old with those fans. But my thought on the starting pitching is, I do believe they're going to bring Skeens up within a month, maybe month and a half, which will definitely fix that problem. And the Bucs struggled a little bit throughout the beginning of the game, but they came through when it mattered at the end.
Yeah, there's no doubt that they had a lot of flaws in that game. I mean, it just kept thinking over and over again, when are they going to get the big hit? When are they going to get the big hit? And there's going to be games that's the case, and they don't get the big hit. But, I mean, they did on a couple of different occasions, and I think I was more so impressed with the pitching and the way that Luis Ortiz and Jose Hernandez, two guys that you would not expect and really not want to be in that high leverage of a role, to be able to close the door.
Yeah. I mean, Henry Davis in, the bottom of the ninth, he hit the line drive. You know, the guy grabbed it. But, you know, tough luck there. And then his next at bat, what was at the bottom of the 12th? He hit the other line drive. And if he wouldn't have slowed up, he probably would have got on first. But I mean, you know, that got the other guys pumped up, I think, and got them going. And then we got, you know, the one run, got the lead at the end of the game when it counted, and we won the game. I mean, it is the Buccos. You know, they're never going to look pretty, but you got to take that win.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Thanks, Jeremy. And here's the other thing. Henry Davis defensively yesterday looked pretty good to me. He looked pretty good to me. Texter was talking about impressed with all of Shelton's decisions, except batting McCutchen in DH and cleanup. Well, he's going to DH this year. Yeah, he ended up coming to the plate. Every time that he did, he either struck out. He did walk once. 0 for 5 officially for McCutchen. Henry Davis was 1 for 6. 4 strikeouts. Also said Happy Easter. Happy Easter to you too. And everyone out there. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Easter weekend.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.